fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome back.
It is the most exciting time of the entire week. Has this been a week?
Yeah.
Seems like just a moment ago. We are swimming in and out of reality so easily that we don't even acknowledge that this is something new or different than non-physical reality. But once we're here, we can look around, and we can see the colors, and we can feel the table, and feel the chair, and then see your presence, and see your vibration, and listen to what you have to say. And then who knows what's going to go on from here? That is the most exciting part of physical reality, is that you have no idea what's going to happen next. You think you know, don't you, though? You think you know what's going to happen next. In fact, not only do you think you know what's going to happen next, you want to control it as much as possible. You want to make sure it happens in the way that you think it should happen. But that's the old approach to life. That approach to life does not make any sense given what you know about the laws of the universe. When you try to control something, you're trying to say that I know how it should go better than the universe. I know what I want better than the universe does. I know what I want better than my inner self does. But that's not how it works. It does not work that way. Here's how it works. Do you want to hear how it works?
Yes, yes. Please.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. We were hoping you would say yes. Here's how it works. You birth a desire. You have certain beliefs. You have an approach to life. You have expectations. You have fears. You have all these things going on inside. And that makes up your vibration. And from that vibration, you emit a signal. And the signal is cast out into the universe. And the universe responds to that signal by bringing you everything that you want. And all you have to do is allow it. It's a very simple system. And it's all done with this law called the Law of Attraction. So what does the Law of Attraction says? It says that whatever you're focused on, it assumes that's what you want, right? So when you focus on something, like something you like, it assumes you want more of that. If you focus on something that you don't like, it assumes you want more of that. Because the universe is neutral. And only you make things good or bad. If you focus on what's good, you get more of that. If you focus on what's bad, you get more of that. Therefore, your only work is to learn how to focus on the positive aspects of things that exist in your reality now so that you can get more of those. Now, that's counterintuitive, isn't it? You think that if you don't like something, you need to focus on a way to get rid of that thing, to get it out of your reality, to move to something else, to leave that behind, to cast it off and escape from it. But the more you think about it, the more you hold on to it and the more you attract of that. It's nice to know that's how it works, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go forward saying, I'm going to spend all my time noticing the positive aspects of every little thing there is, knowing that the universe will have to bring me more of that. Now, it doesn't have to bring you what you don't want. It has to bring you the things you like about the things you don't want. Does that make any sense?
Yes, you like that.
Okay. So imagine you like chocolate ice cream, okay? And imagine you hate mint chocolate chip. Now, in mint chocolate chip is that thing you hate, mint. So instead of getting rid of all the mint and taking out the chocolate bits, you just say, I want chocolate ice cream. Or you could say, I love the chocolate bits in that mint chocolate chip. How is that for a brilliant analogy? I like the coolness, the creaminess, and I like the chocolate bits in the mint chocolate chip. And that's what I'm going to focus on. So that is what we're talking about in the new approach to life. Focusing on everything in a way that makes you feel good. Using a higher perspective to see everything as good. Learning to see that nothing is wrong, but that there are things that you prefer, and just focusing on those things you prefer, rather than looking back at those things you wish were different.
Hmm.
Now, old approach to life, you wish things were different. New approach to life, you focus, you think everything is perfect as it is. You don't wish anything to be different, and you just look at the little pieces of your life that are good. Keep your focus on what you like.
Sounds easy.
It is super easy from our perspective. But it might be a little challenging from your perspective. But that's what we're working on right now. Good. So we are happy to talk about anything that you want to talk about. And all we were going to do is share our perspective with you so that you can see it from the higher perspective and realize that everything is working out. So who would like to start? Who has something? Anyone?
Okay. I have been wondering about, I guess, indulging, so to speak. My husband and I. Okay, so I kind of feel... Well, I talked to Gary. I emailed him already earlier today. I'm like, can I bring up weed, you know, like marijuana? I didn't know, like, if that was a bad thing or not. But, of course, nothing's bad. But we want to know about indulging. Things like food, drinking, and yes, occasionally we smoke marijuana. Do we often have to, like, deny ourselves these sorts of pleasure in the moment to reach, like, a longer-term goal or when we work on mastering ourselves? In other words, should we be focusing on mastering ourselves versus just letting yourself go and do whatever you want? Is there a higher vibration to conscious control over yourself and just instead of just doing everything you want?
Think about why you came to physical reality. You came here to experience physical reality. You came here to experience food, sex, experiences, friendship, love, freedom, fear, poverty, all these experiences. The experience of alcohol or marijuana or whatever is not available in the non-physical. It's a physical experience, right? Because it uses the perspective that you have of being physical, and then that perspective is altered through the substance. Now, the only thing we would say about that is, of course, it's not wrong that if you are using it to escape a reality that you do not prefer, then it's never going to be helpful to you. Right? Mm. But if you're using it to see your reality from a new perspective or have fun or make more fun with more people or enjoy it because it's a fun thing to do, then of course it's a fun thing to do, right?
Right.
You wouldn't say that the only time we would ever have sex is to produce offspring, right? Because sex is a fun thing to do, right? Now, are you having sex to have fun, or are you having sex because it's work, or are you having sex because you think you should do it or should not do it, or to get your mind off something else? Even that would be fine too. It's all fine. The thing is to look forward to things that you want rather than things you want to escape from.
Okay.
So if you're using alcohol to escape from a life that you do not like, then you are not being helped by the alcohol. If you're using any drug to escape from the life you do not like, then you're not being helped by that new perspective. But when you smoke pot, eat a mushroom, do any other kind of thing like that for the experience of it, well, that perfectly fits with what you intended to do prior to coming here. So do you smoke pot for fun or to escape a bad mood?
I think I've been working really hard on myself, so I don't think it's a bad mood. Just more like at the end of the night, I kind of want to wind down, and that definitely helps me. So I don't really feel like it's an escape, but maybe it is.
Does it?
Just going through the day and just long day, and you kind of get to the end, you're like, oh, I just kind of want to chill out and watch something on Netflix and feel amazing.
Does it feel good?
Yeah.
Does it feel good when you're hungry and then you eat?
Sometimes. It does all the time. But then afterward, you're like, maybe not so much.
Right. Does it feel good when you're hungry and you eat and then you overeat?
No.
Right.
But I don't do that all the time. I've gotten past eating after it. Like, I've gotten to the point where I'm just going to have a glass of water and just chill.
What we're saying is that this system of reality is designed to let you know when you should be doing something or when something's good for you. So when you're thirsty and you have something to drink, and the desire is created by the thirst, And then the drinking something when you're very thirsty feels good. When you're very hungry, eating something feels good. When you overeat, it doesn't feel good. That's how you know when you've eaten too much or when you should eat, right?
Okay.
These are signals that are built into the fabric of physical reality. When you smoke pot and it feels good to you, it doesn't feel good to everyone, but if it feels good to you, right, then you know that it is fine for you. If it doesn't feel good to you, then you know that it's just something, it's something you don't personally need, right?
Right.
The same could be true of tequila, right? You might say, I like tequila, and then you might wake up the next day and not feel good. And this is an indication that the amount of tequila that you had is inappropriate for who you are and what you want to do. Now, if you enter into the spiritual growth aspect of it and think that you have to be this pure being, you're missing out on the purpose of life. You could spend 15 hours a day meditating, but why would you do that when you're missing out on this experience that you came for?
Right.
Right? Now, you wouldn't meditate for 15 hours a day, but people would come here to, with the intention of being a person that meditates 15 hours a day, and that would be appropriate for them.
Okay.
That's what we're saying. So everything is individual. There is nothing, one good thing that's good for everyone. And there's not one bad thing that's bad for everyone. And it's up to you to listen to your body and see what makes sense to you. In the Joshua playbook for the diet book, there is an experimentation. You experiment with one food a day on its own, a piece of bread, a piece of fruit, whatever it is. And then you decide if that food reacts well with your body. Because you might assume that an apple is good for everyone, but it isn't. Gary can't eat apples. Gary can't eat oranges. But you might assume the bread is bad for everyone. But bread is fine for Gary personally. And so everything can be experimented this way. To think that your government can tell you what's good for you is ridiculous. Right?
Right.
Everyone is unique. Everyone's here on a path. Everyone's striving towards what feels good for them. So if you have a limiting belief about certain things like this, well, that's all it is a limiting belief which is based in fear, and the fear is false. So you can be happy doing what works for you, no matter what that is.
Okay. How do you know if you need to be someone that needs to meditate longer or more than somebody else that doesn't? You don't know until you just do the experiment. Like you said, do it and then judge it afterwards and say, oh, that worked for me or that didn't work for me.
Here's how,
like,
you know.
You know that was your journey or not, what you came here to do.
Well, that's because you would be on that path. You couldn't deny it, right?
Okay.
You would be born in Tibet, and you would be on that spiritual path, and that would just be the obvious thing. And then you would be feeling good the whole time. Now, imagine that you are born into a family, and they take you to church, and you just don't think church is for you. You know it right away. You're not having a good time. Well, then you know that that isn't part of your spiritual journey.
Okay.
Right? So, but when someone says that you should go to church to be a good person, then you are conflicted because on one hand, you don't want to be there. And on the other hand, you're supposed to be there in order to be a good person, and you want to be a good person. So whenever you have this dichotomy or this conflict, you have to go with what feels good to you, not with what other people think you should be doing or saying or being. Because you are unique. Everyone is unique. And you have your own path. And you may often be set in the trajectory of a family that is completely conflicting. On one hand, you feel this way. But on the other hand, your family wants you to be the other way. And that's something that a lot of people intend so they can be launched on a trajectory to find who they really are.
Mm.
To live that way. Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. It's like being born gay in a really Christian family in the 60s, right? That is a choice or an intention to set you off on a trajectory towards being who you really are, even when you're told who you really are is wrong. Okay, from your perspective as humans being in physical reality, it seems like who would choose that? But from the non-physical perspective, you learn more about becoming who you authentically are through that experience than by any other experience or an easier heterosexual experience. And everyone has their own thing that they go through. Every single person has come here to be set off on a trajectory to find that which they came here to explore in more fuller detail.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Good. Who would like to talk next?
I felt like a lot of that was speaking to me. I had on Saturday, I'm so used to feeling good. On Saturday morning, we recorded the roundtable and I had had my kids and it was near the end of their stay with me. And so I was just tired and in a lower emotional state than usual. And when it ended, I just started crying and ended up reaching out to Astrid. And so we talked and I thought it was issues with abundance and then bounced across like three other subjects and ended up realizing what I've realized here with you a million times before, that I fear like a loss of love. I fear what's keeping me from stepping into who I really am and embracing it and being it in front of everybody is this fear of being seen as wrong and like losing love. So it's not even necessarily that I care what people will think of me or if they'll judge me, but if collectively I will just be seen as wrong and like, I don't know. So
good. And that's why you have the desires that you have and the relationships that you have and the upbringing that you have is all so that you can move through that into who you authentically are and then look back and say, I was living this lie before because of fear. The fear was irrational. I broke through the fear. I became who I authentically am, who I unapologetically am, and now I am living the truth of who I really am. And in doing that, I have overcome those fears. There are new fears to overcome, but I've overcome those fears, put those fears aside, and have stepped into a more authentic version of me, which feels so much better, so much more powerful, and so much more effective, because now you are approaching life from a, I'm here, the center of my universe, to explore reality in my own way, knowing that the universe will always support me and that these fears I can analyze and get through the false ones, the irrational ones, to move through things, to do what I'm inspired to do. And in doing so, I am becoming more powerful, more authentic, and living the life that I intended to live. Which you can do it in this life or the next life or the next life. It doesn't matter. One of these lives you'll get to be authentic. And maybe you'll get a little bit more authentic this life, a little bit more authentic the next life, or clearly authentic this life. Doesn't matter.
Right. Well, that feels like really, I was just, like when I started talking about this, I just felt heavy, like I was failing at what I'm here to do by not being who I am. But hearing, you told me that the other day too, that like it doesn't have to be achieved this lifetime.
You cannot fail. You are here. You are expanding. You cannot help but expand. There is nothing to get done. It doesn't matter. It's as if you said that I enter college on day one and I need to graduate this day because tomorrow I want to start something new, right? You don't need to graduate college this day. You have the next day and the next day and the next month and so on and the next few years and so on. Mm-hmm. And then you can change your mind at any point and say, listen, I drop out of this stuff and I'm going to try something different. So yeah. You can't get it wrong. You're always going to be following what you're interested in, whether you're physical or non-physical. Right. And so you're always moving towards that which you want, whether you're living in this life, living in the non-physical, or living in the next physical life. And it never ends. It's just that from your perspective, you think that there's such a thing as time, such a thing as the beginning and ending, right. Such a thing as I want to get stuff done in this life. The reason you want to get stuff done in this life is because this would be so much fun and exciting to do stuff in this life, right?
Yeah.
But whether we talk to 6 million people or 6 people, it's exactly the same amount of satisfaction. It doesn't make any difference. We are being authentically who we are, and who's ever attracted that is attracted to it. Now, we have nothing to lose, which makes us a little bit more fearless, and we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. And it's easier for us, of course.
Right.
But you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. Right. You can live the same universal laws apply to physical reality as non-physical reality. When you're in non-physical, you are completely authentic, who you really are. And when you are in physical, you are a version of that that is diminished through fear. We wouldn't say diminished, but maybe limited through fear. Now, some fear is very important. And some fear, most fear, is completely rational, which means it has no ability to harm you. Now, from a human perspective, you might say it would be irrational to have a fear to rob a bank, right? Because what could happen? Okay, they could just take you from living in your house to living in a jail, still alive, so big deal, that's an irrational fear, you're not going to die, right? Mm-hmm. But you certainly don't want that, right? That's not what you want. So you're unlikely to get this inspiration to rob a bank. Who gets the inspiration to rob a bank? People who are trying to escape their life that they do not prefer, right? It's more of an urge or a compulsion or an idea of to get out of this life that they hate. From you feeling good, no matter where you are, if you are feeling good, feeling empowered, and you receive an idea, and then you pursue the idea to the first step, and that first step is enjoyable, if time moves quickly, if you are focused fully on it, if you are enjoying it, if you are interacting, if you can see things happening, if you can see yourself meeting people, if things are falling together, you can't help but know that that's right, right? Yeah. And so making up these fears, or not these fears, is choosing a limited perspective and then attracting these fears from this limited perspective, then you get caught up in the fear. And then the fear brings you down to a lower emotional state of being, and now you have to come back up and then reassess where you are and move forward.
Okay, I see that. One thing that came up when I was talking to Astrid is this pattern that I have. Is this just a perception of, I mean, I guess it all is, but of... There have been these moments in my life when I had a chance to really, I feel like, step into who I was. And each time I dove into someone else.
Dove into another version of you?
Okay. Or yeah. Is that all I'm doing? So it's okay. But I'm like dove into relationships, it feels like. Right.
Okay.
So, but to experience myself through someone else, I guess, or try to fix them. So I don't know.
Right. Okay. So has there been a time when you've been inspired to be who you really are? And then not dived into another relationship.
When I was in relationships, like I wasn't ever inspired to dive into another one. I don't know. I guess I haven't been into an official relationship that has looked like the other relationships, but I've found a connection with a person that I've devoted a lot of my time to. Okay.
And are you being someone different than who you really are? Or someone, are you being different with that person than who you are without that person or not around that person?
I guess, no.
So if you're being authentically you, then you can see a mirror to who you are being in this other person.
Okay.
Right. So, and it doesn't have to be a relationship. It could be a friendship or it could be someone you just meet at the coffee shop. You know, you're always seeing versions of who you're being at the time you're being them.
Okay.
Right. So you... But you must think, am I diving into the relationship because I am not comfortable with who I am being on my own? Or am I diving into this relationship because it feels good and it's the next logical step?
Maybe, I don't...
Are you looking towards what you want, or are you trying to get away from what you don't want?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, am I using it as a distraction instead of doing these other things, like, related to... Right. I don't know.
Are you smoking the pot so that you don't have to do the work?
Right.
Or are you smoking the pot because it's fun?
Yeah. I think overall it's because it's fun, but maybe it does become both sometimes.
Well, now you've made the decision to smoke the pot, and then you're worried that you need work to get work done. But now you can't because you smoked the pot. Right? So now you say, well, I've jumped into this relationship, but now I can't do these other things that I want to do. Like other relationships or, you know, time with other people or whatever it is. So whenever you make a decision, whether it's to have a glass of wine, smoke some pot, jump in a relationship, jump into that decision. That is the right decision. Once you've made it, go with it and never look back ever. Because you can never know what happened. And you must trust that if you do something, you make some decision from an inspired place where you feel good, and you take that inspiration, never second guess yourself, ever.
Yeah. And
even in hindsight, it might look like you made the wrong decision. You cannot know that.
What I've been finding, though, is like So when I do that, when I just dive into this connection, I'm getting things out of it. Like it's producing things that are related to the other things that I'm doing, like content.
Would the universe want you to go in a direction right. that is not helpful for you to explore no. what you came here to explore?
No.
We had this discussion before. You could become a gardener and you could just take care of one garden in one spot in the world for your entire life.
Right.
And everything you needed to explore in reality would be done through that passion of gardening this one garden.
Right.
All the relationships you needed. You're self-contained. You are the seed. Everything is within.
Okay.
So if you were inspired to jump into a relationship or even talk to somebody or read an article or anything and you move in that direction, you will get mm-hmm. what you need out of that so that you can go to the next step.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, when you second guess that, you are just resisting and you're just making the process slower than it needs to be.
Okay.
Yep.
Hmm. All right. Thank you.
So, feel good.
Yeah.
See things from the higher perspective that will help you feel good in the first place.
Right.
And then see what comes up for you. If something's exciting, then you can move in that direction the first step and then take it from there.
Okay.
But, good. Wendy, what's happening with you?
Oh, well, I've been getting a lot of manifestation events to challenge my worthiness, and I'm trying to be a ninja warrior and just deflect them and soothe myself.
So are they challenging your worthiness as a human being here to explore physical reality in your own unique way? Is anyone coming up to you and saying, listen, you shouldn't even be on Earth?
No. They're challenging my persona.
Your persona that's self-made and is completely false.
Yes.
So your persona is one who is this limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. And they say, no, you should be a realtor.
Yeah. Or you should. This is how you should be during this time.
Or you should be a
better
photographer.
Yeah.
Or you should be nicer. Or you should be different than you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you should be a better packer of trucks.
Yes. Exactly. It's all bullshit, and I'm well aware of it, that it is bullshit when it's happening. It's just really interesting to kind of sit next to myself and watch this and see the process and not bite.
Not take it personally, because what is it?
Right.
Persona is taken personally.
Right.
Because your persona is your self-created identification of who you are, and without that, who are you? Right. Without that, who are you?
Well, because I can be my authentic self.
Right. So any persona that you create, whether you create the persona that you are intelligent, beautiful, smart, loving, happy, all these things, they all sound totally positive, yet they are all limiting.
Mm-hmm.
When you think you are good at math and then someone challenges your math ability and you react by making them wrong, well, that's a limiting aspect of your persona, even though it's something that you would appear to be positive. So no matter how good you are at anything, it's still a limitation. The only thing that you really are is a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. That's all you are. That's all anyone is, except that you believe that you should also be this and this and this. And none of that is necessary.
Right.
Now, we're not saying that you should be Mother Teresa. We're just saying that just keep this in mind so that you don't, you know, fly off the handle when someone attacks your persona. Just remember, the persona is not me. Nothing's me. My body's not me. My personality is not me. My perception of who I am. My house is not me. My job is not me. My car is not me. None of this stuff is me.
Right. And it's interesting when I don't engage to watch that. It's kind of like that phone call we had. It's like if you don't engage, they kind of just fizzle away.
There can't be conflict unless both people are at each other's necks.
Right.
Right.
And I no longer need conflict.
No, but there is no need for conflict because all conflict is doing is trying to prove that you're right and prove the other person wrong. But if you don't need to be right, then there can't be any conflict.
Exactly.
Right. So when there is no conflict, then it just has to fizzle away. Now, you might think that you're being taken advantage of, right? If you don't fight and stand up for yourself, that person's just going to continually say things that will bring a rise out of you. But that's not how it works. Someone can only say something to bring a rise out of you if you feel insecure in that area. Mm-hmm. And if you feel insecure in that area, in order for you to get what you want, you have to move out of that insecurity. And the way you move out of that insecurity is by going through these manifestation events. That's the whole purpose of someone saying something to you, is so that you can realize that you feel negative emotion, therefore you're not holding the perspective that your inner self has on the same subject, therefore you can't move to the vibration of the thing you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's hard to think of that in the time.
Yes.
It's happening.
Yes.
Right? But still, you can think of it the next day, and then you can bring yourself back.
I'm catching myself a lot quicker, too. Like when it starts to happen, I just take a deep breath and kind of step back from it and remind myself I'm a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. I came here to love and accept, and I try to just look at them with love and acceptance no matter what's coming out of their mouth.
And the only reason it's coming out of their mouth is because they feel fear.
Right. And I recognize their fears.
Right. So you can recognize that they feel some fear, so they have this impulse to change you so that they can feel better about themselves. Right?
Right.
Now, if there was no fear on their part, then there would be no reason for them to say anything.
Right. And I guess my thing is realizing it's not my responsibility to make them feel better about themselves.
Right. But you can reduce their fear. So can you give us an example of something that happened that physically actually happened that we can walk through it and see every step of the way?
Okay. My son and daughter-in-law's condo. I sold it. Sold it in 3 days. So I was pretty excited about that. And we got a pretty good price. And her mom's husband said, "Oh, well, you should have listed it for $549. And at first it was like, "What the fuck? Seriously? Are you kidding me?" And then I was just like, deep breath. That's just his fear. He needs to feel important. He needs to feel like he has a say in all of this when he doesn't. And he needs to just be a part. He's trying to insert himself into a situation where he does not feel.
So what is his fear?
That he, you know, I don't know. I guess his fear is that people will think he doesn't know real estate or.
Or that he should have said something ahead of time, or that he should have.
Right. Yeah.
That he should have known that it could have sold for more, or that people might think that he should have said something, or that he might think that he should have been the caretaker of the family. Right.
Right.
And make sure that the price was the highest. And that so you can, to alleviate his fear, what did you do?
Well, this was just being. It relayed to me through my daughter-in-law. So I didn't have to deal with his fear. I alleviated her fear by reminding her of the market and the comps that we reviewed together and how we were hoping to get over this amount and we got over this amount. How exciting is that? Think what you can do with all this extra money. And I went down that road.
Right. And did that alleviate her fear?
Yes.
Good. And you could also say that you have a choice here. We cannot accept this offer if you don't want to, if you don't think it's high enough. Or maybe we can hope that we, now that we've accepted this offer, maybe it'll fall through. And then maybe we can put it back on the market again. And then that'll bring up another fear that, no, we don't want this to fall through. Let's keep going. And so then it will dissolve the conflict as well.
Right. And it's interesting because I've been taking your perspective, the higher perspective, through this whole thing. And basically, within a matter of less than $1,900 off of asking price, but everything else they needed, they need to rent back, they need to have certain things happen, and everything else just fell right into place. And it was like, well, isn't that nice?
So from your perspective, you know that everything's going to work out perfectly.
Yes, and I keep thinking, no matter what, even if this falls apart, I know that it's for a reason. It's supposed to fall apart. There's something else supposed to happen.
And exactly right. And now you can see that it just makes sense. It just came at the right time. It just, everything fell into place because everything is getting what they want. And then at the same time, as people are getting what they want, they bring up resistance to that.
Right.
And the resistance is just the fear. And the resistance is you're allowing something to happen. So Think about it from the beginning. We have this desire for a new home. So what do we have to do first? We have to sell our old home or existing home. So who do we call? Well, we call whoever we know. Let's call Wendy. Okay. So then they bring in Wendy. So now they have this fear that, will Wendy be able to do it? Is Wendy family? What happened to fall apart? All this stuff. So all this stuff is resistance from what they want to happen. Now they're focusing on what they don't want to happen, right? They don't want things to go wrong, right? And so they take their attention away from what they want towards what they don't want, and then a little bit of fear comes in there. And this fear inspires them to, well, voice their fear or make these comments or have these doubts. And had they just allowed the process to happen, Gary no longer allows his investors to see any of the houses that he buys at any juncture from beginning to end. Right. Because all that does is bring up fear for them. Mm-hmm. When they see it, they think it's scary. Because they haven't seen what he's seen, right? They don't have that experience. Right. When he sees it, he is completely focused on the gem that it will become when it's renovated. But they aren't like that, and they bring up fear. And so their resistance is interjected into the whole process. Mm. So it's just easier if they stay silent. Now, imagine this. You want something, and you say, what's the first step? The first step is to call Wendy, have it listed, and forget about it. And whenever it closes, she'll tell me to show up to closing, and then we'll focus on buying the next house. And then everything would manifest easily for them.
Right.
Now, for the buyer's going to have their own fear, too.
Right.
They're going to be fearful of the appraisal, of the inspection, of the financing, of all these things, of the neighborhood, of if they made a good decision. They might be checking more comps and seeing what was listed during this whole process. Right. Their own resistance. Right. But if everyone just allows what they want to happen, everything will... We shouldn't say the word magically, but it really is magic. It is all these universal laws coming together to help everyone get what they want at the perfect time.
Right.
I'm grateful that I'm getting to have these manifestation events because they're not overwhelming. They're just
little reminders.
Helping me to my authentic self.
And to practice and to fine-tune your vibration.
Right.
Now, on this point, is it easier to work with a client that's bought many properties before or a first-time home buyer?
Many properties.
They don't have the resistance that the first-time home buyer does.
Right.
They are understanding the process. They don't have the fear. They know what they want. They can better navigate it. They've been through the process before. So that just shows you what practice does. Practice helps you align your vibration to what is wanted. So the more you do something and the more confidence you build, the less fear you have.
Yes. I was like kind of overwhelmed with this whole thing. And now I'm looking at it from appreciation of how nice that I get this opportunity to not only help them, but to grow myself through all these little manifestation events.
Right. So something in this was for you, even if there was no money.
Exactly.
Right?
Much more.
Yeah. Now, one thing that Gary would do if he were you is he would expect to be appreciated because he wants appreciation to be revealed to him from his conditions rather than to feel appreciated and then to let the conditions show how he feels. So in his case, people would not appreciate him. They wouldn't thank him at all. They would just notice what went wrong.
Right.
So he has to work on that appreciation process is what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that was a fun example. 6 million out there are applauding right now.
Stay tuned. Tomorrow's another day.
Let's make sure the engineer inserts an applause track there.
Noted.
Excellent. Kate, how are you?
I'm good. So that's very good stuff. Thank you, Wendy. That was great. I really appreciated your feedback on meditation and its use because I've been doing it for years. But I think for the first time, I actually understood that for me, this is how I understood it. It helps me to learn to focus my mind, which is what this is all about, really. Looking at the good, looking at what I want, you know, redirecting my thoughts.
Realizing
and I'd never actually heard that.
Realizing that fear attracts thoughts of fear, or attracts thoughts to get you out of fear. Realizing that when you feel good, you attract thoughts that feel good. Realizing that you can, to focus is to allow the thoughts that are aligned with what you want to enter and to ignore the thoughts that are not aligned with that. And to realize that the practice of meditation is only effective when it feels good. It does take practice, and it will feel better and better and better. But the reason that you meditate for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes is because you enjoy it. Not to accomplish something. Not to, before playing poker, Gary will listen to the abundance meditation, thinking that he's going to attract abundance by winning the tournament. So he has an ulterior motive for listening to that specific meditation. And then we reminded him that that is not how it works. Okay. While it is nice to get your vibration in tune with what you want, you don't do a meditation for a specific purpose. You do a meditation to feel good and to focus your thoughts. And whether that takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 20 minutes, it doesn't matter as long as it feels good to you during that duration.
So this morning I was doing my meditation, dragging myself out of bed to do my meditation. And I had been intending, and this came from the Friends of Joshua page, where this woman, I can't remember her name, I'm sorry, but said that she had come into contact with a Joshua group person who is about abundance called Charmaine, something like that. And I'd been listening to you saying everyone can do this channeling, and she had come up on the page. So I said, okay, I'd really like, I intend to meet a guide, see a guide, something. And a book. I'd come upon a book this weekend in my Kindle library, which I must have had for years, but I've never opened it. So I started reading it this weekend. And then I was meditating this morning and just taking my mind a bit higher into more light, more light. And then this woman appeared in my vision, and then she disappeared. And I was like, oh, that was fun. Ooh.
A glimpse. You got a glimpse.
A glimpse. And that was it. And then, this evening I sat down to meditate again because I wanted to start the experience again. But, I'm trying to say, okay, no expectations, let it go, just enjoy, have fun, see what happens, see where it goes, just stay in light, be open. I just felt, I was able to take myself to that place of light where I could imagine it and feel it. And then I got two energies that I felt, a male and a female. And what I really liked about the book I was reading, and then I'll shut up, was that, in the book they were saying, if you think you're imagining it, it's okay. Because that's what you say too. It's like you say, you have having a conversation with your inner being and you think it's your own thought, so you're not sure. But in fact, just trust that it is your inner being. So it was a bit the same thing going on.
Exactly right. Everyone has the ability, all humans have the ability, the natural ability to communicate with the non-physical. It's part of the design of physical reality. You were never set forth here on your own. You are always connected to your inner self, and your inner self mainly guides you through your emotions, but absolutely guides you through your thoughts as well, as whoever else you want to communicate with, anyone you want to communicate with. And we won't go into it with too much detail, other than meditation is the best way to open up this channel of energy to whoever you want to communicate with. Now, if you envision something, that's one way to do it. And if you hear something, that's another way to do it. But when you envision something, you are envisioning it as if you were seeing it with your eyes. And when you're thinking about it, you are hearing it as if you were hearing it with your ears. However, it is your own thoughts. So it doesn't sound any different to most people than their own thoughts. And that's why they dismiss it, because they just think it's their imagination. However, ask it a question and just see how quickly the response comes back to you, and what that answer is, and if that answer makes any sense. And write it down if you can. If you can write it out, you will be amazed at what you write. And it may take a little practice and a little time and a little expectation. But this is the design of physical reality. It's part of the system. And everyone can do it.
I love that.
Wow, Kate.
Yeah, that's good so job, Kate. I know.
I'm thinking if we can all do this, like the level of love and appreciation in this world, and I don't want to get too hippie-ish, but it's pretty big. So obviously a lot of us aren't there, but if this could be spread and people could learn how to do this for themselves, it's powerful stuff.
You will get to be able to do this when you are relaxed and feeling good and without fear. Those in fear will have difficulty maintaining a connection to the non-physical realm because it's just a different vibration. So in order to meet the vibration of whoever it is that you are intending, it comes through desire. And since no one really has this idea of what's possible, that desire really hasn't been worked on or brought up. But now more and more and more people are having reason to do it because they see Gary doing it. They see Esther doing it. They see other people doing it. And if those people can do it, why can't they do it? Why not have their personal Joshua? It wouldn't be Joshua. It would be called something else because Joshua is a combination of Gary's personality and the group of us that speaks through Gary.
So is that what the awakening is? Is people realizing that this is possible and everybody learning to do it? Is that what this awakening that everybody talks about, is that what's happening right now and we're part of that?
The awakening is the awakening to the new approach to life.
Okay.
Okay. And moving from the old approach to the new approach. Right. So understanding that, believing that you are a lone person that is a victim of fate, that has no control over the emotions you feel, who believes that the conditions control the feelings. Therefore, if conditions are good, then I'll feel good. Or if conditions are bad, I'll feel bad. Right. Approach to life is, I create my own reality. The conditions are neutral. I choose to see the conditions either as good or bad. I am going to focus on what I prefer. I'm going to allow everything else to exist as it is and not call it wrong. It is there for a purpose. Everything is happening for me, not to me. This universe is designed for me to receive all that I need and want. And that I came here intentionally to explore reality as an equal to all others, and I'm worthy to be here. That's the difference between the old approach and the new approach, and that's what awakening is. You are awakening to this new idea of what reality really is.
So all these millennials that everybody's calling selfish and non-motivated are basically just awakening.
They are all awakened. They are being transformed by the old people who are in the old approach, right? So you imagine that you're a millennial and that you are entitled, right? You have come into physical reality to explore life in your own way, and nobody should be able to tell you what to do. Now, that is the new approach to life. But the people who abide by the old approach to life are threatened by that because they don't think that can work. That doesn't make sense to them. You have to go out and get what you want, otherwise you will starve to death and die. So they have the fear. The new approach to life is very confident and understands that they're taken care of, right? And are more secure and are birthing desires at a higher rate and are more energetic and are more aligned with the vibration of the earth right now and see that the possibilities are endless for what they can achieve. Now, this country, United States, was created with that optimism,
right?
So this country was a little bit ahead of all of the other countries, especially the older countries. The oldest countries are the ones that are of the older vibration. And so you'll see a lot of this awakening coming from cultures that are more positive in the first place. Now, but also, you can see Asian cultures who have always believed that the universe has supported them and that a peaceful existence is more in tune to universal laws. And so in this area, too, things are happening as well over there.
Mm, that's exciting.
So there's a lot going on right now. But yeah. What's really creating the awakening is technology is allowing people to attract.
Communicate.
Yeah, that what they want. Communicate new ideas, communicate new thoughts, see how other people are living, seeing how other approaches to life are working or not working, choose what they want to, understand whatever the truth of what they want to. And there is a lot of, we will say, noise in that mix, but that noise will slowly disappear as people are moving from the fear-based approach to life to the love-based approach to life. They're moving from fear to love. And as they cross that line, they will attract things like this.
That feels so good.
Yes, wouldn't it be nice if it happened quicker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the time frame
yeah.
on that?
Yeah.
We are just kidding. It's happening at the perfect
timing.
Because
there is no time.
It's happening at the perfect timing. And those of you who are aligned are more powerful than the million who are living the old approach to life.
Mm.
So those of you who are brave enough to be part of a show like this or to be in this group of people that are like-minded and even to talk to or talk in a way to other people who aren't quite there yet and to share your stories of how you are, you know, how the new approach to life is improving your quality of life and your experience of life, you are breaking new ground. You're blazing new trails, and it is very exciting.
Mm. Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Astrid, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. I have to say, though, listening to everyone else, I'm so grateful that I don't have these big manifestation events creating negative feelings right now. I'm enjoying the quiet. I know I probably should want these big events for my growth, and I probably should go out looking for them, but it's just so nice the way everything is right now. It's so nice.
Well, how could there be anything wrong with that? That is the perfect way to live. And as soon as you birth a desire, you will go forth and encounter manifestations of events that will bring out your limiting beliefs, and then you can get to work on those at the time. But until then, until you have that desire, there's no need to do anything. Except enjoy how you feel. Enjoy being part of this group and enjoy the things that you're engaged in that are fun.
Okay, good.
Excellent. Well, we wish you had more problems, but... Alette, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've been enjoying the show and everything and everyone's comments. And, well, in my question today, I said I'm running out of questions, and I'm only at question 21, I believe, so.
Excellent. That's what we hope for. Because you've run out of questions that you think are big questions, and now you're having to reach for smaller questions. Could anyone tell Alette the benefit of the small questions?
No attachment.
Because when you ask a big question, you're attached to the answer or attached to the problem. And it is hard to see the answer through the problem. So the big strides come when you are forced to ask these little questions. And the little questions may seem silly or like a waste of time or why am I bothering them with this? But because they're little questions, you get really big insights and ahas because the question isn't such a big problem. It's just something you're wondering about. And you get these answers that come, and from that perspective, you see your situation in a whole new light. And by doing that, you make these grand strides.
Okay.
Excellent. So, now, eventually, you'll come to a time when you'll answer your own questions.
That would be great.
Right. And that may come in 3 months, 6 months, 10 years. It doesn't matter. Whenever it comes, it comes. But more and more of you are getting to the point where as soon as you ask a question, you know the answer, but you want to ask it anyway, and then you can compare how we answer it to how you your inner self answers it. And that is an interesting experience, because here you are thinking that you have these questions, but realizing that you had the answers the whole time, you just didn't know it. And through this practice of this one-on-one conversation, you get closer and closer to this communication, inner communication with your inner self, and the answers are revealed to you the moment you have them. And this is actually what happened in your childhood. In your childhood, you had direct communication with your inner self, and when you had a question, you received the answer instantly, and then you made the mistake of asking your parents the question. And then you got a totally different answer.
I have a 3-year-old niece, and she really is her authentic self.
And,
yeah, I'm trying to see it in her, because now I know how it works. And I noticed that she gets in trouble with my brother. for she wants to do what she wants to do, and he says no, now we're going to eat and you have to eat. No, I want my princess dress on first, my princess dress, and then she thinks that's very logical, and my brother thinks no, first we're going to eat and then.
Well, imagine coming from the non-physical reality, where you get to do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. So you, in the non-physical, you always wear your princess dress before you eat. It makes sense. You always do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. That's just how it is. In the non-physical, we always do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. And then we watch you people, and you never do what you want to do when you want to do it. You're always being told you shouldn't be doing what you want to do. Right? So do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. That's what inspiration is. And so she's receiving the inspiration to wear her princess dress before dinner. And really, to a child, food is weird, because to us, food is really weird. While you get to enjoy it over time, you get a taste for it, it is a little weird.
We should all bring our princess dresses on the cruise.
I don't think Gary has one.
Uh-oh. We'll get him one.
So, yes, it's interesting to watch a child and then to watch how the parents interact with the child, because the parents believe that they know what's good and bad, right or wrong, and they want to impart that on the child. And that's what the child came for, is to get bombarded with these limiting beliefs, to lose their authenticity, and then to regain it, right? Through whatever passion that they go for. And so you pick your parents, and you pick the time and place of your birth, and you pick the culture that you're born into. And then so knowing that you would have these certain limiting beliefs cast upon you, and then you, from that, go forth and hopefully will find this area that you're interested in. And in that area, you have the ability to be your authentic self by following it fully. Except that you don't really understand how emotions work, and you don't understand how to take a higher perspective, and you don't understand how to talk to yourself and to reduce the intensity of fears on your own. And so a lot of people end up living limited lives because of that, but they don't have to. Have they just had the ability to break through the fears and to pursue what they're interested in pursuing, then they would get everything they wanted to get as they intended to prior to the birth. So it's just a matter of fear. Now, so you witness your niece being her authentic self, and then you're going to witness her being less and less authentic as she ages and adopting more and more limiting beliefs. But that's what she intended. So there's no place for you to say that the parents are being wrong or things are going wrong, because everything's going right. However, what you can do is, in those times you're alone with her and her parents are out of earshot, is you can explain how the system really works. Now, if you explain how the system works while the parents are around, you'll be invited over for dinner a lot less often.
Unless it's my kid.
Then right. Exactly. I love your kids. Exactly. I just want to feel good.
Good. Good. And how is everything else going in Rotterdam?
Fine. Everything's fine in Rotterdam. Even the weather is okay today.
Excellent.
Oh.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. All right. Well, think of some more silly little questions.
Yes, I will.
And whatever comes to your mind, those are the questions to ask. So don't censor any of them. Just let them come as they come.
Okay. I will.
Good. Julie, have you thought of any new questions?
Oh, well, I hate to always talk about my kids, but I'm in the thick of it.
We love to talk about your kids.
Okay.
Your kids are our favorite subject.
Well, since she brought up, or since we were bringing up the parenting thing, I think I've heard in the past about basically letting your children do what they need to do. But I definitely am confused as to letting them do whatever they want to do and just sit back. Or I'm not quite sure what's the best guide in parenting in this new way of thinking. Now that I've adopted all this information, it's like, oh gosh, where do I go from here with parenting my children?
We say, take them to the nicest restaurant you can find and let them do whatever they want to do without saying a word.
That'll get you over your fears.
I know, right?
We say that your primary role as a mother is a portal to come from non-physical reality to physical reality. Everything else is contained within them. When you are asking them to be different than they are so that you can feel better, well, you're just trying to change the conditions that exist in the outside. But if you can allow them to be who they are as often as possible, be it 5 minutes a day, if that's as often as possible, then that is the best that you can do. So there is no possible way that you can go wrong as a parent. But realize that everything is working out for them, that they have their own inner guidance system, that you can influence them, but you cannot create in their reality. That you have this fear of loss, this tremendous fear of loss, which causes you to want to protect them. And in that feeling of them doing something that you think is wrong, you are given urges and compulsions to change their behavior so that you can feel better. Not about them, it's always about you. So when you react to them in a way that changes their behavior, you are not helping them do anything other than change their behavior so that you can feel good. You are not causing them to be good citizens. You are not enabling them to follow their own inspiration. You are not allowing them to have their own emotions. You are just changing them in the moment, changing their actions so that you can feel better. And that's perfectly appropriate and fine. Just know what you're doing, right?
Well, what about when you just want them to be able to get along with another human being? Like, so in other words, with our oldest, we're always trying to talk about her tone of voice or making eye contact or having some compassion or warmth or something. We always say, we're just trying to help you. It's not like we're trying to get at you. We're just trying to help you be a better person. But it's like, who are we to judge?
That. The reason you want her to be a better person is because it makes you feel better as a parent.
I see.
Right? So it's always your feelings that are involved in this and not her.
I don't want her to be alone or not have friends, not find love.
If that's what she came here to explore, especially in her youth.
Oh, yeah, true.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
So if she is alone right now and doesn't have friends, that may create a desire for something else. It may create a desire to have friends in the future. It may have create a desire for her to write. It may create a desire for her to explore some animals or something else, right?
Uh-huh.
So we don't know what that is. No one knows what that is right now.
Right.
You just have a fear that if she doesn't have friends, she's not going to have a fun life.
Right, right.
Or she's not going to be normal, right? But you don't want her to be normal because the word normal is just the word ordinary because there is no normal. Right. So she came here to explore reality in a unique way. She's worthy to be here. She made it here. Her vibration is much higher than yours is because she's a child. So her vibration matches the vibration of the earth the day she was born. And that is a high vibration. She came at this time of awakening, which is an amazing time to be here. She was born to you, who is interested in learning about the laws of the universe and how the physical reality works and all those things. So just that aspect of it is amazing. So if you can allow her to be who she authentically is as long as possible without loading her up with too many limiting beliefs, then she will be able to get where she needs to go a little bit quicker. But there is no rush and doesn't matter anyway. You can't be wrong. It's just for you to feel better allowing her to be who she is without you worrying about it because she has her own inner guidance system. Kyla's was worried about her youngest son being pummeled to death by her older son.
Yeah.
And so she wanted the dynamic of that relationship to change because it made her feel bad. And now that she's gotten over that, she enjoys watching her older son pummel her younger son.
That is not true.
We were hoping you had gotten there.
I am feeling less negative emotion, but...
You aren't making videos and putting them on YouTube?
No. You should.
Set to music? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
So as a parent, you are actually the child. So think of yourself as the child and that your children are the parents. And they're here to teach you. And they chose you. And everything you've done has been set up for them. Just like how you might feel now about your parents being the children, right? And that's just how it works. That's the generation gap is a vibrational gap. Yeah. Mm. But everything will work out for her perfectly, and the fewer limiting beliefs she has along the way, the fewer she'll have to get over as she gets older. But she will be closer to finding her passion in life, because all this process of childhood is a process of creating these desires that will launch her towards that which he came here to explore.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. All right then. Well, does anyone have anything else?
Feeling pretty complete right now.
Excellent. Well, it has been our thrill and our joy to be here with you. We are so thrilled to be amongst a group of leading edge creators, to be able to speak clearly, speak eloquently, send our message of love out to the 6 million. I think there's 6.5 million now listening.
Nice.
Still mostly non-physical. We're working on that. And as we go forth with the help of you, we will together spread this message of awakening to a new approach to life that is in harmony with universal forces. And with that, we are complete.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.